I've been preaching a homily lately that is pretty strong as far as it's a statement about the theology, not only behind the Eucharist, but behind creation, and why it's unfortunate that so many people are done learning about their faith at such a young time. But I switched for today because the fact that we're doing a baptism, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Next to offering the Mass, baptisms are the greatest thing that there is. And I want to address the homily of the day that we're celebrating, the body and blood of Christ, and tie it in with people coming into the church, such as Isla. And I was crafting a little bit of some to say, and I knew that I was going to want to do a shorter one. My homily earlier this morning was quite a ways over the time. I don't know how that happened. I just came across this, and it's a statement by Thomas Aquinas, of all people, about the precious and wonderful banquet. And I'm just going to read that and then make a comment on it, and then we're going to get to the baptism. Yeah. Well, this is from Thomas Aquinas. Since it was the will of God's only begotten Son that men should share in his divinity, and of course, don't be put off by that men, and even the men in the gods of the people. He assumed our nature in order that by becoming man, he might make men gods. Now that's a small g. But really the intention was for him to share much of the perfection of his being God with mankind. It was man who dropped the ball on that and brought us down a few pegs. Moreover, when he took our flesh, he dedicated the whole of its substance to our salvation. He offered his body to God, the Father, on the altar of the cross. View that as an altar of sorts. As a sacrifice for our reconciliation, he shed his blood for our ransom and purification, so that we might be reckoned from our wretched state, redeemed, excuse me, from our wretched state of bondage, and cleansed from all sin. But to ensure that the memory of so great a gift would abide with us forever, he left his body as food and his blood as drink for the faithful to consume in the form of bread and wine. Now, most of us are pretty much assured of this and have been since they learned in the catechism at an early age that this is a fact. But it never hurts to touch on it once in a while in remembrance of that. O precious and wonderful banquet that brings us salvation and contains all sweetness, could anything be more of more intrinsic value? Under the old law, it was the flesh of calves and goats that was offered, that we offered as our sacrifice. But here Christ himself, the true God, is set before us as our food. What could be more wonderful than this? No other sacrament has greater healing power. Through it, sins are purged away, virtues are increased, and the soul is enriched with an abundance of every spiritual gift. It is offered in the church for the living and the dead, so that what was instituted for the salvation of all may be for the benefit of all. Yet in the end, no one can fully express the sweetness of this sacrament, in which spiritual delight is tasted at its very source, and in which we renew the memory of that surpassing love for us which Christ revealed in his passion. In the last paragraph, it was to impress the vastness of this love more firmly upon the hearts of the faithful that our Lord instituted this sacrament at the Last Supper. as he was on the point of leaving the world to go to the Father. After celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he left it as a perpetual memorial of his passion. It was the fulfillment of ancient figures and the greatest of all miracles, while for those who were to experience the sorrow of his departure, it was destined to be unique and abiding consolation. And that was a viewpoint of Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian of the church. On a day like today, the body and blood of Christ is celebrated, and we recollect that it's the ultimate gift that he made for us. He paid the price for our sins, so that all sins that were committed before, committed at the time, and committed would be committed in the future, are paid for. He's done the heavy lifting for us. And when we think about what a job it is to try and get to heaven, especially in the life that we live now, the real thing is to examine the lives we live now, not to ask the Lord to change. He's not going to change. He knew this before the beginning of time. But he's given us the gift so that if we accept his gift of love, we may participate in the life of eternal grace with him in heaven, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit and everyone else who is there. If we're sometimes in a difficult situation with the difficulties of living in this day and age, the decisions we have to make, remember that there is a way of life that regards all of these things and gives us the guidance which we can use from a practical source, and it is Christianity and the love of Christ that rules that day and doesn't give us obligations that we have to meet, like getting to Mass at 10:30. It's really the love of God that we have to consider. It wasn't any one teaching that he gave us or any one commandment that he gave us that influences us most. It was the life he lived, the life he led and allowed us to see what it means to love one another. It's the agape version. It's the willing the good of the other person. It's not the romanticized version. That's what gets us to heaven. He doesn't give there because he wants to exercise authority over us. Remember, he doesn't need us for anything. He gives us this gift because he loves us. And we all remember what it was like when we first met someone that we fell in love with. I'm not going to look at anybody in particular. But in remembering that, what would we do for that person? Well, the answer is obvious. We would do anything for that person. And that's what God was doing when he allowed his son to hang on a cross for us of all things, for our redemption, but allowed us to share with him his own body and blood, to form that bond with Christ our Lord. So it's a great day today to celebrate that and recollect it. It's a great opportunity to us to think of all of the reasons why we should live the life that Christ gives for us, sets as a guideline for us, regardless of what the culture teaches us and encourages us to do. And it's a great symbol of it that we're doing a baptism today, because this is the day in which, in this case, Isla receives sanctifying grace from God and has imprinted on her soul the moral law. So we want to keep teaching that whenever we talk to them and bring them up that way so that they're aware of that. And we seem to have stuck with, once they're confirmed in high school, we stop. And that should not be the case. We should go right on from there. So in the interest of going right on, let's enjoy this day, and let's now go back to the baptistry and get the job done for Little Island.